Welcome to Guerrillapreneur, the Art of Waging Small Business Warfare podcast, teaching Davids how to defeat Goliaths. Now here's your host, Mark Anthony Peterson.
Welcome back to the podcast for entrepreneurs, startups, and business mavericks. If you're not a maverick, you don't have to go home, but you got to get up out of this podcast. In this podcast, we teach entrepreneurs how to defeat the corporate giant. Just like in the story of David and Goliath, David defeated a much taller and stronger Goliath, not by fighting the giant in hand-to-hand combat, but by using technology. A slingshot. The slingshot allowed the smaller David to attack from a distance that minimized the advantages that Goliath had over the smaller David. My name is Mark Anthony Peterson. I'm a serial entrepreneur, a futurist, and the managing executive at Serial Consulting, a leading small business strategy and technology consulting firm. I'm also the author of the book Guerrillapreneur, Small Business Strategy for Davids Wanting to Defeat Goliaths, which is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iTunes. This podcast is brought to you by Serial Consulting. An idea can launch a business, a strategy can take it global. During our last podcast, we talked to Julie Farr, the co-founder of the Shared Kitchen LLC in Decatur, Georgia. Julie is a groundbreaker. She launched the first shared kitchen in the state of Georgia in 2008. Since her inception, she has hosted over 400 food entrepreneurs in her facility. Julie has one phrase that guides how she runs her business. I'll give you the shoes. You have to run the race. Julie's Shared Kitchen provides commercial cooking, dry and cold storage, and co-packing for food entrepreneurs for as little as $1,700 a month. If you're in the Atlanta area and you're thinking about launching a food or beverage startup, stop by and see Julie at the Shared Kitchen LLC. Find her at sharedkitchens.com. Please check out episode 12 on iTunes, Podomatic, SoundCloud, or streaming at sierol.com. Our next episode, episode 14, will be our one-year anniversary episode. Bazing! Thank you, Guerrillapreneurs, who are all around the world supporting this podcast. Many of you have sent me tweets at Guerrillapreneur. Please keep them coming. I will give you shout-outs, and I want you to continue to spread the word about what we're trying to do to change how business is done and to save the planet. In today's episode, we're going to focus on Guerrillapreneur news. News about the sharing, gig, and circular loop economy that is expected to grow to $335 billion by 2025. Guerrillapreneur News is brought to you by Atlanta-based hip-hop rising star Ari Hotep and his single, The Great Future, featuring Steve Fox. We're going to give you a longer clip at the end of the episode. In the Guerrillapreneur News, you're going to realize a certain theme in this show. The empire is striking back. Yes, mainstream companies are buying their way into the sharing economy. First in Guerrillapreneur News, Ford partners with Lyft on self-driving cars. Now, in a world where self-driving cars may dominate the market, what will happen to automotive manufacturers? Well, Ford has decided that it's going to team up with Lyft to promote self-driving cars, which, if successful, would turn Ford into a services giant that earns revenue by the ride. Now, my belief is that Uber and Lyft will eventually be purchased by one of the automotive giants or delivery companies or even a tech company like Google or Amazon. Don't think it makes sense? Amazon has every reason to want to buy a self-driving car company like a Uber or a Lyft because they become the software to manage how people interact with those vehicles, giving them the perfect opportunity to deliver goods and services in addition to rides directly to the end user. So Google or Amazon, Ford or GM, all have a reason to want to buy an established platform that is already built the relationship with the customer. We're seeing that already in Germany, where Daimler, the manufacturer of the Mercedes, has acquired ride-sharing startup Flink. So I think that trend is going to continue. Why is Ford so willing to partner with Lyft at this point? Well, Juniper Research suggests that the number of people that are going to be driving for Lyft and Uber will double by 2022. The current number, 4.3 million drivers today, is expected to reach 8.6 million by 2022. That the number of ride-sharing drivers is going to double, representing a 14% growth rate in this segment, which is why Ford is trying to get ahead of this trend. Next in Gorillapreneur news, there are some headwinds, though, that are pushing back against the sharing economy market. Uber lost its London license to operate. Wow, that's huge, because that could spell the beginning of a trend that slows down the advance, at least, of ride sharing in major cities. According to HRReview.com, Transport for London concluded that the ride-hailing app was not fit or proper to hold a London private hire operator license, claiming that it took the decision on the grounds of public safety and security implication. The Transport for London concerns include Uber's approach to carrying out background checks on drivers and reporting serious criminal offenses. Where do we go from here? This market is going to undergo some major changes, because consumers are not going to return back to the way we operated with just a pure taxi-driven market. Here's how I think it's going to play out. Uber, Lyft, and other sharing economy companies did not include in their business model the cost of dealing with background checks. That impediment is going to have to undergo serious change in order for these companies to continue to grow. That's going to have huge implications on how background checks are processed, who funds them, and how they remain current, and how the reports of criminal offenses are pushed up to state agencies that grant licenses and certifications to drive. So I think you're going to see a revolution take place, because cities, states, and consumers have made a commitment to the sharing economy that's not going to be reversed at this stage. Just watch and see how it plays out. I think you're going to be excited to see what happens. Second in Gorillapreneur news, WeWork teams up with IBM. Yes, I said it in an earlier episode that I thought WeWork would start managing entire offices on behalf of tech giants, so that they would have a pool of resources to pull from. WeWork just signed a deal to manage an entire office for IBM. Yes, they are going to manage an entire office. Now, the deal is a landmark deal for WeWork growth strategy, where they're going to continue to go after and cater to large companies to be able to manage their office. Now, if you take into account the investment made into WeWork by SoftBank, this company is now valued at $20 billion. If you haven't been to a WeWork office, they do a really good job of creating a cool workspace. Free coffee, beer, amenities, scheduled training activities for all of the people who reside at the WeWork offices, which is part of the reason why IBM would want them to manage their space, because I'm sure that's going to have an impact on turnover when people love where they work. But where I think the most important part of what WeWork offers is their own internal Facebook software, where they help connect people in the office with other people across their entire network. So if you're in Atlanta, not only can you figure out who else is in your office that you may sell a service or a product to, but you can link up with someone in San Francisco just as easy by scrolling through their internal Facebook type software and making those connections. That's giving them a competitive advantage against other shared workspaces, because now I can actively grow my business with workers who are resident or virtual workers who are also in the same WeWork family, domestic or international. And when you apply that to an IBM where you have siloed operations and you put WeWork in charge of it, they're going to unlock some productivity that even IBM could not do because of just how teams organize themselves in IBM workspaces. Those barriers will be brought down when WeWork manages those offices for them. Now, where do I think WeWork's going to go from here? With that sort of setup, office management skill and software, these guys are pushing themselves closer and closer to talent management. So that means screening, virtual learning, and if they bring those into the core of what they do, they certainly will be able to manage offices for the largest tech companies around the world and create tremendous synergies for them. So just sit back and watch and let's see how WeWork evolves. Third in Gorillapreneur news. Again, guys, the empire is striking back. IKEA announced a deal to acquire TaskRabbit. IKEA, the world's largest furniture retailer, announced a deal to acquire on-demand health startup TaskRabbit, thereby grabbing a seat at the online sharing economy table. TaskRabbit provides an online platform where freelancers can get jobs to do everything from fixing a roof to putting your furniture together to buying your groceries or even standing in line to buy the iPhone 8. The IKEA TaskRabbit merger is a partnership made in gig heaven, particularly for the TaskRabbit gig workers who now may have a lot more tasks put out there for them to perform. What's even better about the merger is that IKEA is going to let TaskRabbit remain a standalone entity. So the taskers are going to continue to work in a great environment, and IKEA is going to get a platform that they can use as a strategic weapon against their competitors to ensure that their furniture is not only innovative, but put together by a team that's probably going to end up getting inside training on how to put it together correctly. Now, I love this. In Internet 1.0, when the world didn't know how the connectivity was going to change commerce, Microsoft announced a deal with my old employer, Accenture, to create a company called Avanade, a billion-dollar company that was going to focus on integrating large-scale industrial solutions. This is what I think of when I see the IKEA TaskRabbit merger. The sharing economy is forcing mainstream companies to think about ways that they can play in the sharing space while remaining true to the core of their capabilities. And this is a great way to execute that with the way IKEA has done. I think you're going to see other mergers occur in this space. I could imagine a company like McDonald's acquiring a sharing company like Deliveroo or Grubhub or one of the other players that delivers food directly to the end user, because the market is shifting away from in-store dining to in-home dining, and McDonald's has one of the greatest store footprints out there in the fast food space. That asset is going to turn into a liability if they can't figure out how to get the Big Mac to your house instead of getting you to a McDonald's location. Next in Gorillapreneur news, First Data. They enabled a push-to-card payments for contractors. Now, I love this. According to payments.com, First Data launched its new disperse-to-debit solution, a low-cost payout option for businesses with the gig economy workers that delivers funds directly to a debit card. This real-time debit payment solution will benefit the gig economy, certainly ride-sharing platforms and other home rental markets like Airbnb, because you're going to get your money instantly straight to a debit card. Now, this could also have some great benefits for insurance claims, rebates, refunds, commissions, even in cases like the hurricanes, where you got to disperse funds directly to people who've been impacted by a major crisis. And when we look at the insurance companies that are insuring individual transactions, a ride, a car, a scooter, or a piece of equipment that supports the sharing economy, instant two debit card payments would make these transactions move at the speed of business and would revolutionize how gig workers get paid. I like this. I really do like this. Another building block in accelerating the growth of the sharing economy. Next in Gorillapreneur News, another headwind that might slow down the sharing economy. Akron, Ohio, they banned the first public case of short-term rentals through Airbnb and VRBO. Akron resident Octavian Maya Anu is no longer allowed to use his home for short-term renters. His neighbors went to City Hall and complained that they did not like the fact that he was hosting short-term renters in his upscale neighborhood. Though he has never had an incident, the neighbors complained that property values could suffer if wild parties started to break out. City Hall ruled in favor of his neighbors and banned him from hosting short-term rentals in his home. If these sorts of trends continue, Airbnb could have some serious issues with attracting individuals to put their home on the market, certainly in upscale neighborhoods. Well, there may be an answer for Airbnb to the problem of not being able to rent in neighborhoods. And it's being solved by two startups that are helping people go camping. Yes, the Airbnb of camping. Two companies have figured out that they can approach landowners to set up camping sites and connect people who haven't camped before to a set up campsite that they can split the revenue with the landowner and make money. The first one is called Tenter. T-E-N-T-R-R, and they allow people to book fully equipped campsites on private farms and in rural homesteads. Landowners, called camp keepers by Tenter, pay $1,500 to join the platform. In return, the company sets up a canvas tent, a bed on a wooden deck, and outfits the sites with chairs and a camp toilet and a fire pit. The average nightly fee to use one of these campsites is $127. 40% of Tenter's campers have never gone camping before, says Michael D'Agostino, who is founder of Tenter. Now, Tenter plays an active role in curating these sites, and they send out scouts to check out the possible campsites before signing up landowners. That's a pretty cool business model. I'm sure Airbnb is looking at that, and that may end up being an acquisition that they make. As neighborhoods become tough to book, private land out in the middle of nowhere, or a homestead or a farm where there are very few neighbors but a lot of cows, might be a great way to continue revenue growth for the home sharing giant. Now, there's another startup that's also attacking this problem from another perspective. Alicia Rivazio started her website Hip Camp at first just to help people figure out where to camp. Then she had the idea to unlock access to private land to campers, helping these private landowners to market their campsites. Hip Camp now has about 15,000 campsites on its platform, and they offer campers $1 million in liability insurance, just in case anything goes wrong. In exchange, Hip Camp takes a 10% cut off of what the campers pay to the campsites to use the facility. Not a bad business model. Hey guys, you remember that e-umbrella startup in China that I mentioned back in April? Well, they've lost all their umbrellas. Bazing. Yes. 300,000 umbrellas are gone in 6 months. Now, let's give you a little background on e-umbrella. E-umbrella got an investment of 10 million yuan, which is about $1.5 million in US dollars, when they launched back in April of 2017. They charge their customers 19 yuan, or about $3, deposit, and an additional half yuan, or 7 cents, per 30 minutes of use. They have stands scattered across many Chinese cities near train and bus stations, and users receive a code to unlock the umbrella after paying for it with their app. With just one problem. I mean, it sounds pretty good. They didn't tell the consumers how they could return those umbrellas. Bazing. So in just 3 months after launch, the Chinese-based e-umbrella has reportedly lost all of its 300,000 umbrellas available to rent across the 11 cities where they have the stands. Wow. Now, I mentioned back when we first talked about that, my business model, had I launched this in China, would have been to make sure that I got rid of all 300,000. Here's what I would have done. I would have made the umbrellas trackable. Yes, GPS trackable, so I know exactly where all the umbrellas are. I would have also installed a small screen on the handle of the umbrella so that I could send codes to each one of those umbrellas when they got close to advertisements or locations where my advertisers were located. I would then send those codes out and they could take those codes and plug them into the app in exchange for discounts and free stuff from my advertisers. That way I would have a continuing revenue model. The umbrellas would act as a distribution platform, and with the umbrellas being trackable via GPS, I'd know exactly when I had a potential customer near a potential advertiser so that I can create some unique and dynamic marketing events that couldn't be rivaled by other players in the industry. That's how I would have made those umbrellas valuable, knowing that people would have taken them out of the rack and not returned them. But under this model, they were hoping to get, I'm sure, some portion of those umbrellas returned to racks, but they didn't make that easy or explicit when they launched the company. So now, what do they do? Do they reload or do they step back and rethink the business model? I hope it's the latter. Next in Guerrillapreneur News. Real estate agents will eventually market your bedroom. I mentioned that in a previous episode that I thought that given how fast the gig economy is growing, that gig workers aren't going to be buying houses anymore, that they're going to start buying spaces in a house just like they would rent an apartment. So I will buy a bedroom and then we would share the public spaces in that house with other people. Well, I think that prediction is starting to come true. According to Adam Data Solutions, 22% of all purchase loan originations on single family homes in the second quarter of 2017 involved co-borrowers. Multi non-married borrowers listed on the mortgage or the deed of trust, that's up from 21.3% in the previous quarter and up from 20.5% in the second quarter of 2016. All the trend data suggests that gig workers are going to push off total home ownership, but I do think they want to own somewhere that they can put their head for the least amount of investment that they're willing to share with other people. This data suggests that that trend is coming faster than we think, with more people who aren't married and don't have families deciding to buy single family homes together for the purposes of having a owned space and shared public space. Real estate agents, if you're listening, this gives you an opportunity to start rethinking your business and trying to figure out how do you market a house that has two or three or four bedrooms to a group of non-married borrowers versus a family or a growing family. Finally, in Guerrillapreneur News, I'm going to pose a question. Given everything that we've heard in this episode and in previous Guerrillapreneur News episodes, what will we own in the future? Since we started the podcast, I've mentioned several different types of sharing economy businesses. You can share a pet, right? Mobark in China, you can share a pet. Your household appliances, you can share those with the London-based startup Fat Llama. You can share a kitchen. Just mentioned that in episode 12 with shared kitchens. You can share your car with Uber or Lyft or with Safer, right? Out of Boston. You can share your charging station. You can share your umbrella with e-umbrella. You can even share a basketball in China. And certainly you can share your house with Airbnb and vacation rentals. You can share books, which was a startup that just launched in China. Yeah. Take your old books, put them in a kiosk, and you get paid when people read the books that you put into the kiosk. Pretty cool stuff. In China, you can also share your bed, and you can share napping pods. Now, that one's been put on hold until they can work out all of the safety and fire issues. But when they relaunch, you'll be able to book 30-minute nap times in these shared beds or napping pods. So given that every aspect of our lives is moving towards shared use and full utilization, what will you own in the future? What do you focus on that's going to be of value to the individual as this economy evolves? The hard asset you're going to own is some way to interact with the sharing economy, an ordering mechanism. And I think that's why you're seeing so many different players invest with products, be it the virtual assistants from Google and Amazon, the phones from Apple, the Google phone, Amazon phone that they launched. Everybody's trying to make sure that they have direct access to the consumer, because that's going to be the ordering mechanism for all these shared services that you're going to have. So that's one piece. And I think that's a critical, critical piece, because that's the gateway, the gatekeeper. But what are some of the other things that you need to focus on making sure you control as the sharing economy evolves? I think first, your profile data, who you are. That doesn't sound that critical, but think about the Equifax breach, where over 150 to 300 million records were stolen from Equifax. They were stolen because your profile data has value. Your social, your date of birth, your address, your name, all of that has value to people, because that can be used to initiate transactions, financial transactions, healthcare transactions, IRS transactions. So control of your data, of who can use it, who can touch it, and when they can touch it, that's going to be critical. If the Russians hacked Equifax with the intent of creating fake or duplicate voting registration requests, this could completely undermine our state or federal elections. Now, if this is the case, we will need biometric security to lock down our voter registration files. The biometric will become critical. Now, I'm going to talk more about that later in the show. You may have to push your politicians to enact laws that give you direct control over how this information is dispersed, because right now it's being collected on your behalf and marketed to gazillions of companies that utilize that in the decision making around products and services that you want. The next thing is your credit score. Your credit score right now is a critical component in determining how much you pay for services. And in a sharing economy, it may be the on-off switch to determine if you can even share in the economy. So you got to rethink that. The final piece, I think, is your biometric. As your profile data becomes more important, you got to have a way to lock it down. And how you communicate your biometric, be it voice, finger, retina, signature, handprint, veins, facial, whatever it ends up being, that biometric will be important for you to participate in high-risk transactions, be it your 401k, when you make contributions or disbursements. They'll need some way to show that you own the profile data that's going to initiate that transaction. To me, as I look forward in the sharing economy, those are the four most important elements that you have to have some sort of policy or framework around to keep you as a relevant player in this economy, as assets become less important and digital transactions become the top of the pyramid. This is how I see the future. Now, Arihotep, tell us how you see the future in your new single. Ladies and gentlemen, The Great Future, by Arihotep, featuring Steve Fox.
Arihotep, Steve Fox, The Great Future. Do it up big, put it on for my city. Lights, camera, action, always ready. Hands to the sky. Hard face, said ideas born bulletproof.
leave them shells. Got a plan that's foolproof. College I failed. Measure of a man, really what I learned though. Peek into the oven window, R and rise like cake though. Driver seats taking, hell yeah, it's paid for. Engraved metanetta, foundation laid, yo. Never doubted for a second where I stand, I am. Pops cold in the kitchen, where them candy yams. Write every rhyme like it's my first. Make classics, get acres from granddad. Build a mansion, gotta have a quiet taste. Time for expansion, could drop urban in the flow. East Lansing, Michigan Fab Five, compare remembrance. D-Weaver kicking up dust on a mission. If Stevie can see, why can't they? Never worry about me sitting on the dock of the bay. Carve something out of what I got. Surpass try. Had thoughts of a pilot. That's too fly. Harvest grape wine from grapevines. Copyright before a copycat rapes lines. Now you wanna show me love? That's a hate crime. Beyond belief. Been known that it's my time. JL Express, where I both feel like Christmas time. Salute Steve Fox. Now it's your time. It's your time, player.
Do it up big, put it on for my city. Lights, camera, action. Always ready. Hands to the sky so I can reach the outer limits. Hungry like a hippo. Player, gotta get it. Do it up big, put it on for my city. Lights, camera, action. Always ready. Hands to the sky so I can reach the outer limits. Hungry like a hippo. Player, gotta get it.
Thankful for the gifts. The presents bring presents. Took ownership, words turn to blessings. Built in Bible raised, but I pardon off the reverend. Shiny suit theories of reverence made me reference that Pac El Hash, Malik El Shabazz flow, Schoenberg, 125th, Cuba Langston under brick. And a marvel, I marv off the caution. 400 acres, fleet of tractors, no GPS tracking. Hotel put me on peace, five fingers, means justify the ends. So the world won't get mad, get even, keep breathing, keep being. It's the reason, navigate seasons, stand aside from treason. Question, are you bone, flesh, blood, spirit, or machining? Your life into existence, fighting without meaning. Done a good deed, is future wings of phoenix. Great, I am feeling. But that's Fox, good evening.
Do it up big, put it on for my city. Lights, camera, action, always ready. Hands to the sky so I can reach the outer limits. Hungry like a hippo, player, gotta get it. Do it up big, put it on for my city. Lights, camera, action, always ready. Hands to the sky so I can reach the outer limits. Hungry like a hippo, player, gotta get it.
Guys, thank you for listening to this episode of Guerrillapreneur News, news about the sharing, gig, and circular loop economies. I also want to thank Ari Hotep for sharing his single, The Great Future, featuring Steve Fox. You can find Ari's single, The Great Future, in the Apple Music Store. You can also follow Ari on Twitter at Ari, A-R-I, underscore Hotep, H-O. T-E-P. If you want to feature your song on the Guerrillapreneur podcast, DM me on Twitter at Guerrillapreneur. If you can't get enough of Guerrillapreneur News, sign up for my newsletter at Cierro.com. C-E-Y-E-R-O.com. Also, note that the podcast hosts monthly giveaway sweepstakes through Amazon. Sign up for one of our sweepstakes and they'll just ask you to tweet out a message about the podcast and you'll be automatically entered into a sweepstake to win some exciting electronic devices that we give away each month. Guerrillapreneurs, Scott Sullivan said it best in episode 7. Be a mace, sharpen those spikes, and remember, if you're not breaking something, your company might be the next thing that gets broken.
Thank you for listening to the Guerrillapreneur, the Art of Waging Small Business Warfare podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, you may also enjoy the book Guerrillapreneur, Small Business Strategy for Davids Wanting to Defeat Goliaths, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iTunes. Follow Mark Peterson on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Guerrillapreneur. Now I want to close with a quote from the great Chinese military strategist Sun Tzu. Victorious warriors win first and then go to war, while defeated warriors go to war first, then seek to win. Keep fighting, guerrillapreneurs!